For the first time in 17 weeks. How long has it been? 4 weeks? 3 weeks?
Four weeks? Yeah, 4 weeks. Technical difficulties, you know, hours instead of weeks and days instead of minutes and stuff.
What? Hey, welcome to Dial Dork anyway. I am your host, Irv. I am live in my basement once again with a new recording studio machine. I'm here with Dork Almighty.
Let's get ready to dorkulate.
Oh, boy. God awful. All right, so
I could have done it the other way.
Matt?
And said, you know, something like...
Matthew?
We dorkulate his property, and we're damn good at it.
I don't even know what the hell... I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Oh, thanks for grabbing my beer.
You're very welcome. Cheers.
Well, it's good to be back. Good to be back on the air, if you will.
On the ether.
On the ether. Oh, that's good.
I like that.
We are... you are on the ether! We are going to get...
In five, four,
three... I got to get a red light bulb for the outside of the basement. Not because we're doing prostitution down here, but because it's a recording studio.
Although well, we could you're do not doing prostitution down
Speaking
here.
Of prostitution.
Well, this should be good.
I had to go down to
our
client.
And, oh, dude.
and you were there. So, when did you leave? Because when I left the client, about an hour and a half later, you were gone.
Yeah, no, when you left and be like...
All right, wait, hold on. Background, little background story.
Okay.
Last week, I had to go to a client at midnight to...
For legitimate purposes.
Did I tell you what happened?
No.
Okay.
Because you said it was some kind of like telephony thing or,
well,
or
here's what
network
going
switching
on,
or something.
They are a shipping company, and they take calls from around the world 24/7 at that facility. So there's always somebody there.
Wow. All right.
There's always somebody there. However, you know, at midnight, they only have like one or two people on staff. They don't get a huge volume of calls.
It's their lowest. Yeah, I got
it. So right around midnight was when they were going to bring in, and they have an office in Florida also, and they're connected by a dedicated, you know, leased line or whatever.
Really?
With an Avaya system on each end that creates a unified, you know, phone system.
Oh, this is Brian's organization that
yes,
I helped with.
Yes, that's right. Okay. That's right. So they have this Avaya system, and it's pretty neat, and it's, you know, it's very interesting. And so they had an Avaya technician there,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to be working with an Avaya technician in Florida, and they were going to be upgrading the servers to the latest, you know, firmware or
version
whatever the
service
fuck.
Pack,
so there was going to be some downtime, and they needed, you know, to babysit it and everything. So they figured that'd be a good time for me to come in and shut down the computer networks and get them on a new UPS.
Oh, good idea.
Just so happens that their facility is next door to the Diamond Men's Club.
Diamond
T-H-E-E.
Yes.
Which is
capital
T-H-E-E. Some kind of copyright bullshit, you know.
No, it's probably some kind of, you know, the Diamond Club.
No, there's. I'm sure it's some
like
kind
we're
of...
in England or
it's
something
some kind
of the sort.
It's some kind of copyright thing.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
All right. Anyway.
And De Beers came after him.
Sure. So, basically, you know, these...
So basically, the
Diamond Men's Club is, you know, what it sounds like. It's a strip club, and it's right next door.
It's a quality strip club.
It's not bad. I mean, there's
good.
Like four of them in Ohio. These Diamond Men's Clubs, and they all have these like video conference like link ups, so that when you're sitting there in one, there's like big video screens showing you who's dancing at one of the other clubs.
Exactly.
And the one in Canton, every single girl was smoking hot.
Well, we should go down there one day.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Certainly better looking than the rather tired-looking specimens that were prowling the dank innards of the Diamond Men's Club here in Cleveland.
You know, while you disappeared for a while, I was entertained by...
I went ahead and
choice ladies.
Dude, you were talking to this blonde girl?
I talked to the blonde girl, yeah.
She was... easily one of the ugliest girls I've ever seen.
Yeah, she was not, but she was interesting to talk to at least. And after being, you know,
dude, she
well,
was
whatever.
So ugly. Unbelievable.
Hmm.
I mean, wow.
After you left for
I would have she didn't even have a butterface. Because she had no body.
You said that.
Because you can't make the argument. She had an ander face.
Yeah.
And terrible body.
And her face.
The one with the dreadlocks was very intriguing.
Yes.
Did you see the
Latina looking chick?
Yeah, there were a couple shorter girls that looked really good but they kept getting dominated by this big group of truck driving fuckballs who I guess just had a bunch of money and they're drunk and stupid. And the girls wouldn't fucking leave them and attend to anyone else. But I did get the massage though. Wow, that
dude,
was good.
I have to say that was awesome.
That's worth the $10. That's actually worth the $10. She gives you like, 5 minutes, and that's now look, a 30.
I don't know about 5 minutes. I was sitting there in the chair for like a good 15 or 20.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she
You're
likes
just quick.
You. Maybe she. Maybe I am. So the ladies tell me.
It was a shame that you had to leave because as you left and I was getting the massage, you're like, so are you going to be here when I later? I'm like, no, man, I got it. I can't stay out here until 4 in the morning because, if it was the first week of work at the new job.
Well, they're only open till 2, okay? So it's not,
Well, even so, I actually have to get up and be to work on time now instead of just strolling
in
whatever the hell I don't want to.
But I mean,
anyway, you had bad timing, though. Because after you left, that other group kind of broke up a bit and released all the chicks.
I really wanted that one with the dreadlocks.
Yeah,
she was lanky, but she had a pretty face. Unlike the girl that I went into the VIP room with was just really, really unattractive.
Mm.
But she was a pro's pro and had all the tricks.
She's got the skills to pay the bills.
Yeah, except she had this piercing in a certain spot.
Really?
And she kept tugging on it, and it freaked me out a little bit.
Dude, that's like boing.
Yeah, well, no, but she kept pulling on it, and I'm like, that doesn't do it for me. No, anyway, she was also very rough, kind of.
Mm.
The next morning, I felt like I had these thumb-sized bruises. Like right, on each shoulder, like the shoulder meat, like right here.
Yeah, I gotcha. Oh, well, what are you going
to
do?
Anyway, so
what are you going to do?
So it broke up. You had a good time.
So, yeah,
you went
had a great
home.
Time. So I was there like what? Maybe half hour, 40 minutes after you left.
I go next door. Literally next door.
Yeah, literally.
And I'm talking to the tech in Florida, and he's telling me what I'm going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, so why don't you go ahead and unpack the UPSs, and then when they're all ready to go, turned on and mounted and everything, call me back.
Okay.
I said, okay, where are they? And he said, they should just be there in the room in their packing crates. I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
And he's like, what do you mean, no? I'm like, they're not here. So they hadn't arrived yet.
So what did you do for an hour and a half?
Well, so he had me check out these security cameras, these IP-based security cameras that weren't working. And it turns out that something's gone kablooey on them, and they probably need to have their firmware flashed or something, or whatever, or just something.
Right.
But see, that they have, Ethernet ports on the back of them.
Right.
And power.
Right.
Plus, they have a serial port. So next time I go, I'm going to bring
a serial connect.
Well, I couldn't ping them.
Well, how would you know what address to ping?
Well, he knew what the address. He had all that written down or whatever. They had it documented what the IP addresses of the cameras were supposed to be. But I couldn't talk to any of them. I even connected directly to it with a crossover cable, and I couldn't ping it or anything.
Yep. Interesting. Unfortunate. Well, I mean, great that you managed to do some work anyway. But you're going to be back there at midnight
again? I
got
able to bill an hour and a half and still have all of the work ahead of me.
Yeah. So when do we go to the Diamond Club again?
I guess not in the near future. It's kind of good because I was able to make some of the money back that I spent at the stupid Diamond Club. Okay, so
I was actually pretty happy with the rates that we were charged there.
What, $10 for a table dance?
Yeah.
That's very normal. In Cleveland, that's the going rate. I mean, I guess it could be more elsewhere. But I went back into the VIP room for a three-song, fully nude, private dance for $50.
Yeah, that was great.
And I thought about that, and I'm like, you know, that's just stupid. Because, you know, for just a couple hundred more...
You could have gotten laid.
Yeah. Not that I would, because, you know...
Well, it's the possibility.
I can get laid anytime I want.
Exactly.
I got my wife on a short leash, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. I gotta work so goddamn hard to get laid.
I'm sorry.
That's funny. Anyway, it so is. But me and every husband in America. So anyway,
speaking of hilarious things and hysterical things, okay. I have a proposition. I propose that we go to see Stephen Wright when he comes to town.
Okay, well, I'll respond to that in a couple of ways.
Okay.
One, you might as well count me out because most things like that I simply can't do.
Why not?
Because of my domestic responsibilities, you know, going to like an evening show or something.
I think if we plan appropriately, we can offload your child and you and Dory can come out. It's all about planning.
Here's part two.
Okay.
Not a big fan.
What?
Not a big fan.
You're on crack. Although you did like that Louis Black guy, and
Louis Black is okay. I tell you who's funny.
Who's funny?
Louis C.K.
I don't think I've heard.
He's funny.
Heard his stuff.
He's funny.
Well, all right. So I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were interviewing Stephen Wright. I find him hysterical.
That's fine.
I think he's a riot.
That's fine. A lot of people do.
But you know, it brought to mind that I was like, you know what? I don't think any of us have been to. Any of the fine comedy establishments in the area in probably years and years.
I used to win parties all the time at the...
Improv, probably.
At the Improv.
Yeah.
And I used to win parties all the time, and I used to go there, you know, at least, you know, three times a year, I'd say.
That's a lot.
And it's usually a good time. I mean, you know, you go to the comedy club and everybody's just... Usually everyone's there to have a really good time, and everyone's had more than the 2-drink minimum, you know, whatever. And so everyone's really ready to have a good time and ready to laugh. And you, for the most part, the comedians get the job done. I mean, they don't. There's some. You'll have some comedians that you know that'll tell jokes, and they're like they're okay.
Yeah.
And you still laugh though. You just, it's like a group thing, like a social, you know, kind of phenomenon. You know, it just becomes very contagious. You know this. You want to laugh. I mean, there are some people who go to comedy clubs and they want to not laugh. They want to like be skeptical and want to, or maybe even want to heckle.
Yeah, that's like going to a magician, a magician's show. And
I saw you. Hey, you put that in your sleeve. You know,
ass. Shut up. Kick your. Put you on the saw table.
There is something to be said for the heckler who can manage to get, I don't know, let's say Michael Richards to scream nigger 15 times.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That was...
Have you... I've never gone to the Improv and seen a heckler.
That's like a heckler's... That is like...
A guru.
You are now in the heckling hall of fame when you can get a comedian to do something like that and ruin his entire career, basically. I mean, those guys should be in the heckling hall of fame. If there is such a thing.
The honorable order of hecklers?
Of the ancient and accepted Scottish heckle. free hecklery.
That's not bad. So, I had never seen a headliner at any of the comedy clubs. They've always been, you know, not no names, but... You know, I've never seen like a Sam Kinison or a George Carlin.
Well, you'll have a hard time getting tickets to Sam Kinison.
Well, yeah, because he's dead. But, okay. You know, back in the day when he was
Bill Hicks or Mitch Hedberg. Yeah, those shows are tough to come by.
Conceptual, you know, caliber type
indication. The highest profile comedian I'm going to say that I've ever seen live, and I could be just totally forgetting something, you know, completely forgetting... But was a guy by the name of Gary Valentine.
Valentine?
Yeah. And
what?
You know what? He's like a recurring character on The King of Queens, I think. I think he's Kevin James's brother.
Really?
On the show.
I think it's actually
like
a pretty
stocky,
funny show.
Blonde, stocky guy.
Oh, is that him?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't play that, but he's on the show, I think, King of Queens. His name's Gary Valentine, and he's He's pretty funny, actually. He actually is pretty funny. Dory didn't like him that much. And it was one of those times where, you know, when you go to the improv, they have an opening act who's actually like, he either might be like a local talent, you know, who does all the introductions and reminds people not to take flash photography and crap like that. And but he also tells some jokes. All right. And, you know, that's like the kind of, and he's
the fluffer.
Terrible. Okay, sure. He's a bit of a kind of a fluffer, like a pre-fluffer fluffer. All right. He's like the makeup artist. All right. Because then comes the fluffer, who is like the sort of opening act. And he, you know, that person will do, you know, like 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes.
Okay.
And on this particular night, Gary Valentine was funny. But this guy was hilarious. I mean, he had the crowd in tears. I mean, we were in tears. And I wish I could remember what the fuck he was talking about. I can't, because I was
crying. You were crying.
I was laughing so hard. This guy was so funny. It was this black guy, and he was hilarious. And the thing about the improv, you gotta understand, you know, Cleveland has a very, you know, healthy black population, okay? And the improv gets a nice bit of business from that community.
I think every time I've been there, there's been an extraordinarily well integrated community in the
crowd. So I think you'll find that the crowds at the improv most of the time are, half.
At least, I would say.
A third to half black, which is fine. And you know, which also ensures that you're going to see some black comedians.
Exactly. And
they can be extremely funny, you know. It's like kind of a, you know, I'm just a white guy, you know. It kind of, you know, bridges, you know, they kind of have a whole nother, like, you know, cultural, you know, take a whole, it's like looking at the world through a fresh set of eyeballs, you know. It's like a whole nother side of looking at the world, you know, and it's very, and it can be very, very funny, all right. And so this guy was absolutely hilarious. He was as funny as anyone I've ever seen live. Just phenomenal.
Would you say that you were hysterical?
I was hysterical.
He was hilarious.
And I take great pains to say that correctly, because you sit there and go, Stephen Wright is hysterical. I'm like, if anything, he is the absolute opposite of hysterical.
Oh, yeah, extremely so. But he causes hysteria.
Well, that's fine. You can say that if you want to.
Oh, okay.
But don't ever.
Don't ever.
No, it's okay.
On penalty of death.
So what do we got? What do we got that's
we should
dorkular.
We should at least talk about the YouTube that Tim Wurzel sent on.
Not Tim.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention something about what Tim said. To be technical, it's Shane's YouTube clip of the week.
Yes, exactly.
It's merely named after Shane.
Right.
It's
an honorific.
Well, you know, it's like this. It's like when you go to temple and you might use the, you know, Morris and Anita Teitelbaum Memorial Water Fountain.
You're kidding,
right? Well, no, I'm just saying that almost everything in temples are like
donated. Sponsored.
Yeah, they get you know, like Jacobs Fielded, you know, or
you know. You know, when the day that I drive by one of these temples on the east side and see sponsored by 3M, welcome to the 3M Temple.
No, no. Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Temple.
No, you can, Minnesota, you can get stick on
Minnesota Matzah and Mandelbread. That's the 3M I think you're talking about. No, basically. What I mean is, like, not sponsored by companies, but, you know, people donate money to the temple, and they, you know.
You know, I know that there is a joke in there somewhere.
Well, like, you know, where I went to temple, all right, back in Washington, D.C., at Washington Hebrew Congregation, almost every seat.
Why do I always think you're from Philadelphia?
Well, I have a lot of family. My dad's from Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
My grandmother and my aunt still live in Philadelphia, but I'm not actually from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Okay, so Continue. my the temple that I went to, Washington Hebrew Congregation, I mean, like, almost every chair in the sanctuary on the back was a plaque that's, you know, this chair is donated in memory of, you know, Esther Siegelman by, you know, her loving family or whatever the, you know, fuck it says.
Did you guys have any chairs in there that were your, you know?
I don't think so, because it was, you know, it wasn't cheap. We happened to belong to a very affluent shul, but we weren't. In fact, we were one of the only people who even belonged there that lived outside of either D.C. or Potomac, Bethesda, Chevy Chase kind of triad there that kind of border the city to the north and to the west, I believe.
Okay.
We came from Silver Spring, which was, you know, northeast of those neighborhoods, and I, you know, I was looked at as
isn't Silicon Graphics, don't they have aren't they in Silver Spring, Maryland?
I don't know, man.
Come on.
Anyway, look,
I'm pretty sure I went for training there.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, the point is that we didn't have that kind of cash, all right? And pretty much everything was taken anyway. I mean, it was very, you know, what, it was like a very popular thing to do.
Well, I'm sure, but, you know, you always need new chairs.
Anyway, the point is actually, what was the point?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I think what I'm saying is that Shane's YouTube clip of the week is merely, it's open to anyone, such as the water fountain or a seat in the sanctuary. Anyone can use it. However, it is its namesake. It's named, the segment itself is named in honor of Shane. It isn't incumbent upon Shane to contribute the clip. Nor, and I wanted to say to Tim, does it have to be funny? We never said Shane's hilarious YouTube clip of the week. It's
that
simply Shane's YouTube clip of the week. And so, he, you know, Tim has this clip to share. He says it's not so much funny as it is bizarre. And the search string is creepy kids show.
I have to admit that I could not bring myself to put that in YouTube.
Well, I actually looked at it today.
You did? Okay. Yeah.
And it is definitely creepy. I mean, right off the bat, it's fucking weird. It's claymation. Speak, goddammit. You're like,
would this was on in the 80s? So, like, how kids are, I mean, you and I have been of the age to watch that, or no?
If we were kids, we would not really have picked up on the creepiness, but we might have changed the channel.
Okay.
But it's weird. Like, you see, it's like right off the bat, within the first, like, 30 seconds, it's these two kids plus Albert Einstein, and they're talking to, like, a living, looks like a theater harlequin mask. Do you know what a theater harlequin mask is?
Yes, I do.
You know, like, the smiley face and the sad.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those masks, and it's kind of, like, morphing into shit, and it's kind of talking weird, and it says it's an angel, and I don't know what the fuck is going on.
You know, there was a lot of stuff that I remember watching as a kid and thinking, God, this is so excellent! And then you go back now and you kind of look for those episodes and you're like, what kind of crack was I on? Because most of it is, I swear my parents were feeding me LSD in my Wheaties or Frosted Flakes.
Because
that stuff is just trippy.
And I found a cassette tape of a recording. Now, I don't know where this tape is now, but I had found this cassette tape of a recording that I made with my sister and our dear friend Elizabeth Griff, who lived in our neighborhood, and we have been friends with since we were infants. And she could come over to our house, and I guess her mom had come over to hang out with my mom. And so the three of us were upstairs playing, and we decided to make a recording of a radio call-in show. And I was the host, and my sister and Elizabeth pretended to be, you know, people calling in.
I'm getting a little creeped out here because this is, like, prophetic.
Well, first of all, I was, like, 10.
This
And my sister is 8, and Elizabeth was 10, okay?
Oh.
And I listened to the tape, and I'm thinking, okay, this is just going to be funny or cute or whatever. It is nothing but, like, 45 minutes of three kids just screaming. I mean, just screaming. Like, you can't even understand what the fuck we are saying. I mean, it's crazy. We're just screaming and, like, just not coherent at all. I mean, I have vivid memories of my youth, and they're all very coherent. And then when I listen to this tape, I'm like, Jesus Christ, kids are totally stupid. stupid.
This is what I'm saying. We have these incredible memories of everything being just, you know, like crystal clear and perfect. And then we go back as adults and look at it and have to stop and wonder, who was this person that is created my memories? Because I certainly was not there.
Well, yeah, you just can't fathom how, like, it was just amazing how fucking strange.
Who knows? All right, okay, well, anyway,
Speaking of Tim, creepy kids show.
Creepy
kids
show.
Is what you want to search for on YouTube. And frankly, scroll down also, and there's something about a creepy Christian kids show called Circle Square. It looks bad.
Dude.
Bad. And it's got a cast of like 50 people from every race, creed, color, and sexual orientation, except they're all straight because they're Christians. Course,
you know, you have to wonder if
there weren't any priests on the show.
Recent kids who were, you know, drawn into the purple dinosaur and the
Barney
and the Teletubbies are going to grow up in 15 years and look back at watching that stuff and just go, "What the hell?"
I think people will look back at Teletubbies and be like, "What the fuck?" However, and Barney is very, you know, straightforward. It's mostly just like singing and like lessons. And, you know, there's nothing like really crazy about Barney. And that's why grown-up kids don't like it. At least the Teletubbies, like, is just, you know, at times extremely trippy. Like that baby in the sky. You know, you're like, whoa. Okay, so, you know. you know, Electric Company was really tripped out.
Yeah.
That was really tripped out.
But that had Spider-Man on it, so it was
Spider-Man
awesome.
And Letterman.
Letterman, yep.
Letterman, or something like that. I love Wonder Man on TV Funhouse.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one.
Wonder Man on TV Funhouse is so great. It's basically like Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Except that he's like, he talks about, basically the intro of the show is like, Wonder Man, fighting crime in the city. And getting his alter ego laid. He's always like, he'll like save a girl from a fire, and then he'll talk about how he knows. By the way, do you know Clark Kent down at the something something? And she's like, no. He goes, well, I hear he's got a huge penis. I mean, that's just what I hear. You know, the next thing you know, Clark Kent's fucking this girl, you know, or whatever.
It's like really good. All right, so that is basically a precursor to
Wonder Man.
100, you know, pornos out there with superheroes in it, right?
All right, so let's move on. Speaking of Tim Wurzel.
Let's do some Bare Metal.
All right, and Tim, we wish you all the best. He mentions here the bare metaling of his appendix. They have yet to bare metal it. It's merely inflamed, not infected, but he thinks that surgery in about 3 weeks' time.
I still think he should let us bare metal the appendix.
He's not going to swallow the camera pill, which is disappointing.
Yeah, very much so.
He wanted to have an adventure like Inner Space, where Dennis Quaid and Martin Short fly around his body in a small spacecraft, and hilarity ensues.
That was a great movie.
I'm not going to say great, but it certainly was entertaining. Martin Short was a...
And Meg Ryan was extraordinarily cute.
Pretty.
Yes.
So anyway, hang in there, Tim, T Dubs, and all will be well. All right, let's go on to his question, which he submitted last week, and then we had our technical
difficulties,
and let's see. Here it is again. My question this week involves updating Windows. The IT guy at work is adamant that people do not update their Windows OS when updates are available. He claims that this is just leaving you open to more attacks. This seems odd to me because if you don't update your OS, then aren't you leaving yourself open to even more attacks by never fixing security flaws and not knowing about the new ones? Obviously, the easy way around this is just buy a Mac or run Linux, but for those that do not, I figured it would be a good knowledge to have. So there's a second part to this question, but let's stop right there.
You know what? You can tell a long-time listener when he puts in, you know, qualifiers so I don't go ranting off on my,
yes,
you know,
yes,
soapboxes.
We know, Lord Almighty. Yes. We know.
Anyway, there's an easy answer to that one.
Okay, let's hear it.
The easy answer is that...
Your IT guy is a douche.
Bag of enormous proportions.
Maybe we shouldn't say that stuff. I mean...
Why?
We are mentioning Tim's name on the air, and there can only be how many IT guys could there possibly be At the company he works?
Well, probably not many. But here's what I would say. In the defense of patch management organizations the world round, unfortunately it is the circumstance that on occasion patches break functionality and features that current applications that you are using for your critical business
or blue screen the shit out of your servers. One of my clients' laptops. Interestingly enough.
Yes, it will happen. So there is a certain amount of trepidation and caution that comes along with just willy-nilly
from an IT perspective. Yes. They've seen plenty of situations where a patch has really done damage. However, if I may just interject, I think it's been quite some time since there's been a truly broken patch to come out. I mean, there have been plenty of situations where patches have been patched. I think the patch has been patched, but I have been installing updates now. I haven't seen one in the last 2 years to really cause any kind of a problem, other than this other one that I was mentioning, which was pretty serious. But with the right tools, you can take care of it.
Yeah, I suppose that's true enough. I mean,
we could get into safe mode, so all you do is just uninstall it from add remove programs.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm being I'm loath to admit this, but I am being bitten by my abhorrence of the Outlook and Outlook Express utilities.
Nothing wrong with Outlook Express.
Well,
it's a perfectly nice, lightweight email client that is functional. I like Outlook Express.
I'm glad you do.
It doesn't have a calendar or anything, but it works well.
I am glad you do. However, my own caution and dislike of those systems caused me to install Windows XP without installing Outlook Express.
Really?
Yes. You simply uncheck it from the appropriate panel when you're installing. And
here's a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the name of the Outlook Express executable file?
MSIMN.exe.
That is right.
Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. I win the prize.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
So I recently got a new cell phone, as you know.
Yes.
And because it's built on Windows Mobile, it can do all kinds of fun synchronization things between your PC and your cell phone. Synchronize favorites, music, videos, you know, a whole mess of stuff, including contacts and email. However, it will only do so with Outlook, not even Outlook Express. So the installation CD comes with ActiveSync, which is a Microsoft product, and Outlook, so that you can get all that set up. So I'm going along. I'm like, all right, I'm going to install Outlook just so I can get all my contacts over into the phone, and I'll uninstall it and, you know, move on. No big deal. You cannot install Outlook without having Outlook Express installed.
Are you serious?
I am not serious. Here's the catch.
You're not serious?
You can install Outlook. You can't actually launch it.
Ah.
You launch Outlook and it says, Outlook requires Outlook Express 4.01 or greater to be present.
That's phenomenal.
So I ran through...
Outlook running a little version of Outlook Express inside of itself?
Who knows? But I went through 4 or 5 different knowledge base articles and an associated 10 or 12 patches to get the system.
Did it work?
No, it's still not working, so I've given up.
May I give you another suggestion?
Sure.
There was no capability to export to like a CSV or something from Outlook Express?
Well, I didn't have it installed.
Oh right,
my old phone was a BlackBerry, which was synced to
an
Exchange address book.
So wait, where were you trying to get your contacts from?
From either a CSV file, which I had.
You had.
You know, from Yahoo, or you know, some kind of export, you know, from Thunderbird, which can do all kinds of different formats as well. But the phone's import only works with ActiveSync, and ActiveSync only syncs Outlook files.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's a bunch of bullshit, and I was rather frustrated. So if you have...
You should have told me, because, you know, we could have... See, this is when you might contemplate virtualization.
Well,
certainly, you know, in my business, you know, I use virtualization for doing, like, you know, certain tasks where I need to install something that, you know, I don't want on my personal, you know, machine.
And it's funny you should say that, because that's the same conclusion that I came to. I just haven't gotten there yet.
All right.
That's to everybody who's listening, if you have these kinds of problems, virtualization is a great tool for resolving some of this kind of crap. Gives you a sandbox with which to do your work, and then you just destroy the sandbox. Anyway, it was all good. I mean, you know.
Keep us posted on your progress.
Well, so the answer to, so the in-kind answer is that, yes, patches can break stuff.
Oh.
And even if it says it's going to fix stuff, it might not fix stuff.
Ah, that's true, too. That's another thing about the patches, that sometimes they're just for show. They don't really necessarily fix the problem, or at least Microsoft thinks they fixed the problem.
But maybe not.
And maybe they don't, or the really smart people are like, no, that really didn't fix the problem. But for the most part, it's just a way of life in the Windows world, and you should just do it. And if you're the nickname was Russ Miller,
actually responded.
Contributed to the answer to this question also by mentioning that, you know, IT people, you know, can implement things like, you know, like update services, you know, like
a proxy.
Well, not so much a proxy. I think you can put a server between Windows updates and your network,
which is a proxy.
You're right. Shut the fuck up. You can basically, you know, do something like that where that computer gets the updates. You decide which ones are going to be made available to your... Would you like another beer?
No, I wouldn't.
That's your third sip of an empty bottle.
It's a funny thing about habitual action is that it usually takes about 3 times before you realize what the fuck you're doing, and then be like, all right, that's it. Don't need to
whatever,
do
whatever, dude. All right, so...
still, Burning River beer is pretty good.
That's great.
You know what? We should send Great Lakes beer to some of our loyal listeners. If they don't have it in their area.
Well, they probably... Well, it's debatable whether Tim Wood in Michigan.
In Michigan.
And I don't know. Do we have any other listeners?
I don't know.
Shane.
Shane, California. Right? No, not California.
Like Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. He would definitely have access to it.
Maybe. I think... I don't know.
Maybe you know what?
Get back to us, boys.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
See if you
have Great Lakes beer.
See if you have Great Lakes beer at your local beer store, or maybe you have to go to the one with the better selection.
Yeah.
If you can get it, try it and tell us what you think.
Doug tells us that we have some listeners in New Zealand, evidently. we should definitely.
Every now and then I see a New Zealand address in the Webalizer.
That's it.
I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
They're listening.
I was listening to... the radio. Radio advertising is one of the lowest forms of existence, I think. And
have you seen that billboard for WMMS out on the bridge over here for the Bob and Tom show?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. So the Bob and Tom show is lame. It's funny in that they you know, do interview comedians, and they're usually pretty good, but they try to be very family oriented, and they don't push the edges of any kind of FCC regulations, period. So they're pretty lame. I'm driving across the bridge coming over here tonight, saw the WMMS billboard advertising the Bob and Tom show, and it was the words, you know, Bob and Tom, written across a woman's bare hips wearing a thong with the Buzzard logo on the front of the thong covering her V-shaped area. And when I looked at that, I was like, that has nothing to do at all with the theme of their show.
No shit. I hate it when, like, I always hated it when this local sports guy named Kenny Rota, all right, he's insufferable. And Kenny Rota is always talking about, like, you know, hanging and banging with the big boys down here at, you know, Shooters, or, you know, down here at Fucko's Tavern on Lorraine Road, you know, whatever. Come on down and hang and bang with the big boys. And always talking about all these, like, the lovely ladies, and we're going to be interviewing Miss September, you know, whatever, and all this stuff. This guy, if you ever saw this guy, he's the biggest loser. I mean, like, he is the biggest piece of shit. He's a goofball. And I actually saw him walking out of Mallorca restaurant one time. I'm like, oh my god, you were Kenny Rhoda. I mean, you sit there and you talk about sports. You're like this little guy. This is like the only thing worse is Greg Brenda. He's like just a little troll.
You don't.
Doesn't even look like he can run.
You don't get into radio because you look good.
All right. I mean, fair seriously. Enough. I'm just saying. Like this guy is a serious.
I mean, let's be honest.
I'm a hate on him a little bit. He's a fucking loser.
Have you ever listened to Maxwell's show?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes or so. Have you ever bothered to see what the hell he looks like?
Well, they have him on the fucking
on the.
The video billboards. We have these electronic billboards here in town that basically show like static images, but you know they cycle through
several.
An image like every 5 seconds or mm-hmm. something. So that's actually really an interesting thing because it really opens up the world of billboards to anybody.
Oh,
because
yeah.
What do you have to do? Submit a frickin' JPEG or something?
Probably. You know, high res or something like that, or relatively
high res. Anybody can do that.
We can do that.
A traditional billboard it can cost like $100,000.
I wonder how much. I mean, they can do time-based costing now, though. With
exactly.
that, how long
like,
does your
like
image get displayed?
Like AdSense or AdWords or whatever.
Like, I wonder if we could do subliminal messages if we only had it up there for like.
I don't
half
think
a,
the,
half
the
a
refresh
second.
Rate isn't good enough.
Come on.
All right. Anyway,
we could try.
Shut up. All right. Let's move on to the rest of Tim's question.
All right. All right.
Because Tim is now asking us to what is the verb form of conjecture? Conjectify?
Posit.
Right. Tim writes, also, in reading my popular science magazine from last month...
Oh, really?
There was an article about a man who has invented a machine that basically destroys all garbage save nuclear waste. It was an interesting article, but if this machine is able to do what it claims, then why doesn't every municipality have several of these machines to destroy the waste we create that is doing nothing but hurting ourselves? Here's the link to the article if you want to take a gander. And if Drew were here... he would put it in the show notes.
He would. Did you read the article?
No. I didn't get. To, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. The point is that my first response would be is a, you know, is it fully like you know fully vetted, fully proven? Like is you know, does it truly work?
If you read the article.
Did you read the article?
I read the article.
Okay, well, then fucking you talk about it,
asshole. I'm not going to talk about it.
What does the article say? What does it do?
I did not read the entire article.
Well,
so
enough to know what the machine does and how it works?
I read enough to know that all it does is like gas. Not it's even more than just gasify this stuff. It basically plasmifies it. Is that a word?
So it's basically like a super hot incinerator?
Yeah.
That reduces it to like just harmless, you know.
Well, they're not necessarily harmless. You still have to do work. What is it? The law of conservation of matter says.
Yes. But what I'm saying is maybe what you wind up with is compounds that aren't harmful.
Well, yeah, that is the point. You know? But you still have to do something with all those compounds. And you still have to be able to handle all the output. And be able to, you know, ramp up commercial and
well,
do the assembly, you know,
this
scales and stuff like that.
I guess
that.
What I wasn't sure was a machine, how big is the machine?
That didn't say.
Okay, because if the machine is like, oh, I don't know, you know, the size of a, you know, utility shed that you might have in the back of your house, okay, if it's that big, then, you know, and it can handle like, you can throw like a trash bag in there and 5 minutes later it's done. That isn't going to work for a municipality. It's just not, you know, it would have to be large. It would have to be the size of, you know, it have to be like the size of an industrial facility. And you have to be able to put a truckload of garbage in there
and do that in
less than, you know, 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, you got
to
think about economies of scale, but you also have to think about total, economic and environmental impact, right?
Yeah.
So if the recycling facility uses up more energy than...
Well, I've already talked about this.
Yes.
What I want is for garbage to be launched in rockets and put on the moon.
No.
The Earth came with a garbage can. It's called
the moon.
It's full of pits. It's lifeless. Garbage can. Well, I want to build a diamond elevator
and when
and just garbage will just go up the diamond elevator and be dumped on the moon.
And when a, you know.
Or launch it into the sun.
Now, that's the one that I've always wondered why the hell we don't do that.
Like, take nuclear waste and launch it into the sun.
Yeah.
Put it inside, you know, some sort of titanium shell that would survive the rocket, you know, not crash on liftoff.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a. That brings bad. A whole new meaning to a Challenger accident.
That'd be bad. Okay. But, okay.
We now have nuclear waste strewn across Texas.
Yes, it's not good. Please run for your life.
Please. go to Mexico.
Walk, do not run. Anywhere. Just get the fuck out.
Actually, that'd be great. Talk about a reversal
of you take all this nuclear waste or whatever, this toxic waste, you put it in big rocket payload, and you just shoot the rocket into the sun.
Well, the problem is it weighs a lot. Nuclear waste does. And then, of course, the liability issues are terrible. And, you know, when rockets go up and lift 5 tons into space, mm-hmm. 5 tons ain't a lot.
Well, how about we... Rockets can't lift more than 5 tons?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the average lift, you know, capacity is, but for something that needs to...
Well, let's slingshot the fucking thing.
How the hell do you do that?
Rubber bands.
Acme rubber band.
Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote. Super genius.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mud. So, my thing to you, Tim, is...
We're so
I guess what I'm not sure about is, you know, well, I'm talking feasibility here for a municipality. Now, if it was something that I could have in my home, you know, like the old trash compactor, and it costs like $1,000.
Homes used to come with incinerators.
Sure. We're talking about like an incinerator for the 21st century here.
Yeah.
And
a little Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, kind of, you know. And so you have this thing under the counter, and you just put the trash bag in there. You turn it on and go to bed. And when you come down in the morning, you've got a briquette that you throw in the garbage.
Or that, you know, if the collectors within the device are sophisticated enough, you obtain briquettes of valuable material, which you then send to an appropriate location.
A giant pile of diamonds.
Well,
so you come down in the morning.
You might get
diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds and topaz and garnet and amethyst.
Tanzanite.
Tanzanite and
kryptonite
pearls.
Did you see the article on CNN that
tanzanite?
That some tanzanite's a purplish gem that's pretty valuable.
Sure, it's not amethyst.
I'm positive it's not amethyst. Anyway, so I read on really?
February, bitch.
Nice.
Frankie is yellow topaz for November. Uh-huh. I think it has a name actually that isn't topaz. It's like it's like
yellow topaz.
Something-ite. Anyway, go ahead.
I read an article on linked off of CNN today that a researcher in Serbia had discovered a mineral composition that when he entered it into Google to see if anybody else had discovered it, he came back with several results, and he came to find that Lex Luthor had discovered it and named it kryptonite.
Marvelous.
So it's something
so he actually invented kryptonite?
No, he didn't invent it, but discovered it.
He actually
anyway,
discovered kryptonite?
In the comic book, I think he did something like that. Or
no, I mean
did,
guy in Serbia.
This guy in Serbia discovered a mineral. Discovered. He didn't make it.
Well, why did he call it kryptonite?
You can't call it kryptonite because there is an element called krypton, and this mineral has no krypton in it. Krypton's a gas.
It's an inert gas.
Yes.
Could you use it in a lamp?
You could.
Like neon or argon or xenon.
I forget what.
Other inert gases.
Krypton burns. I think it's a pretty bluish white.
Well, they use krypton all the time in like
headlights
and stuff.
The high intensity bulbs and stuff like that. Anyway, so he discovered this stuff. Thought it was a hoot that he found evidence online that somebody else had discovered it and that it was a fictional character in Superman comics, and went on to publish his findings and that kind of thing.
Did you see that, on a similar note, that Rush Limbaugh said that the Virginia Tech shooter had to be a liberal?
No.
He says, quote, "This guy had to be a liberal. You start railing against the rich and all this other. This guy's a liberal. He was turned into a liberal somewhere along the line. So it's a liberal that committed this act." And then he follows it up with, I'm just pointing out a fact.
You know, maybe he should be fired too.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because those advertisers, they know. I mean, who advertises on his show?
Not liberals.
I don't know who. Who?
Conservatives.
Oh, like General Dynamics or something?
No, I don't even think they're that conservative. Does he have advertisers?
Of course.
I don't know.
Of course he does.
Maybe.
His show has millions of listeners.
Yeah, I doubt it.
What? Of course it does.
I'm just being contrary.
What are you, a liberal?
No.
Okay. No.
No. Good show, man. Anyway.
Oh, pieces of... what are we... Pieces of flair?
I have no flair.
I got this laptop over here.
I saw that. I wondered if that was new or if it's...
It's got a busted screen. But it's an Inspiron 8600. It's got a Pentium M 1.5 gigahertz, 512 RAM.
Yeah.
The hard drive was also dead, so I replaced it with just some old 20 gig laptop hard drive. And it's got no screen, but it's got integrated wireless and some other things. So I'm kind of controlling it using VNC.
Does the external monitor adapter?
Yeah, that's what
work?
I was trying to plug in, but the monitor cable is buried over there, so I couldn't really get it out right now. But I will be plugging it into this monitor, and actually, I'm probably going to replace this monitor with an affordable widescreen format monitor because this laptop it does 1200 by 800.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
or something
out of the external port. Usually, they can do just about.
That's true.
Anything.
That's true. Maybe that's a good point.
I need to bring my... I should have brought my laptop from work. I could have showed off.
You never bring a laptop to the show.
I know. That's
and you really should because you could be such a much better contributor than you are now.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd say your performance is horrible.
Horrible?
And with a laptop, you could be slightly above... No, I'm kidding.
Good sir. We will step outside.
Now you're a...
Foils at 10 paces.
I don't think they do foils at 10 paces, do they?
I think you do anything at 10 paces.
Rapiers. Rubber chickens at 10 paces.
Watch out for those boomerang fish.
Oh, the Monty Python's fish. Is that on YouTube?
It probably is.
Is that on YouTube? I want to see if the fish slapping dance.
Oh, that's I still like that the is, fish license
that
one.
That is one of my favorite Monty Python sketches of all time. The fish slapping dance. And it lasts about, 30 seconds tops. And it is... I just think it's hilarious. What can I say? Here it is. It's only 15 seconds long.
Nice.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, this I'll is watch. Great. Here, let's watch it real quick here.
I would like to buy a license for my pet fish, Eric.
I don't think I know that one.
You don't know that one?
I don't know.
Oh, it's on my iPod out in the car. I should bring it in and let you copy it.
Okay.
Because it's about this guy with a pet fish named Eric who goes to the pet licensing agency to buy a license.
Are you ready for the fish slapping dance?
Oh, hold on a second here. I'll tell you the story. Huh. He has a dog license for his pet dog named Eric, and he has a cat license for his pet cat named Eric from the cat detective van. He says something like, I've not seen so many blooming aerials out of a van. The man said he could detect a purr at 400 yards. The guy at the agency says, you're off your chum.
You're off your job?
Chum.
Oh, chum. Did you, speaking of the cats, did you ever see the what the hell is it called? Like a Muse-a-cat or something like that?
No.
The Monty Python sketch where they have to get this cat's attention and make it like the cat won't move. It's like the cat's just sitting in the yard and it won't move or something. And they have to get it to move. So they call a music cat, or I forget what it's called. And they just do this crazy play where they end up cutting, and people are moving from one side of the thing, sliding across the stage to the other using, stop action, stuff. It's really funny though. It's really weird. All right, here's a fish slapping dance. You ready?
Here we go. Roll tape.
Ha 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 ha!
Who is that? Is that Cleese? Oh, that was a fish. That's a trout.
That was the whole thing. That's the whole sketch. So the guy, it's a Michael Palin, dances up to John Cleese and slaps him in the face daintily three or four times with these little, like little smelts or something, you know, these little tiny fish. And then he fit, and it's like this little dainty music. And then it stops, and then John Cleese pulls out like a fucking tuna and drills him in the side of the head and into the water, which is here, one more time. One stuff. More time. One more time. Good stuff.
You know, and John Cleese is standing there like one of the Buckingham Palace guards. Oh!
It's awesome. Just look up fish slapping dance on YouTube. It's the best. It's really good.
How many years was? How many years did Monty Python really produce? You know,
the Flying Circus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'd say probably anywhere from like, but somewhere between 4 and 6 years, seasons.
Seems like longer. I mean, it seems. I remember looking up the DVDs, and there's like 9 volumes
there's,
or something like that.
There's an amazing. This is going to be the last thing we do in the show because
yeah, because we're probably over time.
Yeah, we're pretty much right on. It's like 9:02 or something. Okay. 9:03. Yeah. But if I can just for one moment, let's see. Wait.
Your server's name is Monolith?
Well, it's a big black computer case, you know?
All right. 2001 Space Odyssey.
Shut up.
All us apes.
The very last episode, I think, of the Flying Circus. I think it's episode 4. There's only 45 of them.
How long were each of them?
About a half an hour or so.
That'd be about right, I guess, for 9 DVDs, because that's about, you know, 2.5 hours per DVD, and, you know, they don't generally fill those things up very well, usually, with episodic content anyway. Well, which kills me, because, you mean, you can buy seasons, like a season's
that
worth.
That didn't look too good.
Failure? AVI's broken?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Or you don't have it mapped to a launcher?
No, it's... No.
Is it working on it? It's thinking, considering it?
Wasn't too happy with it.
Comply. Computer.
Hal, please play. You fucking cocksucker. Unknown error. You bitch.
You upgrade media. Use,
That doesn't look good for the
thumbnail. Do start run and launch M Player instead of Media Player. Or M Player
2?
Yeah, the old version.
6.4?
Yeah.
Well, these don't look good. I'm almost wondering if like the codec isn't quite right. On this machine.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Cuz it doesn't seem like it's like rendering it, you know. Anyway, look, the point of it is that the very last sketch, I think, of the entire series,
Flying Circus series,
I believe it's the very last sketch of the entire series, is like they're in a department store, I think, and they're in this department store and they're trying to figure out how to end the show, like how to end this particular show or sketch or whatever. And he's like, well, maybe we could just do like, you know, the classic, like, and just zoom out, you know, like it's like him at talking to someone else at the counter, and then they start zooming out and they're like no, that's kind of, it's been overdone. You know, what about, you know, or if we do the, you know, this kind of ending or that kind of ending or this kind of, they kind of like kind of do the ending and then they kind of reject it.
Ah.
So they kind of like doing the ending and then they kind of reject them. And then at the end he says, well, what about a surprise ending? And then they just immediately ends. Cut to the black, you know, Monty Python pictures and they end the show just like that.
That's great.
It's really good. That I'll have class. To show it to you sometimes. Very, very good. Class. And it's not like funny. Clever. But anyway, okay, we got to end the show. So please email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com. Visit our website, dial-a-dork.com. Go to Cafe Press and look for Dial a Dork with no hyphens. Buy some shirts.
I was thinking about this earlier, and we can end the show you know, momentarily, but maybe we should put up a MySpace page or something. What do you think about that?
Well, Shane did mention that, did he not?
Yeah, he did.
All right, we'll
yeah.
do it.
Okay. I just want to, I mean, you know.
Well, let's put Drew on it. He made the banner. Let's put Drew on it.
Well, but, I mean, if it's going to be a MySpace page, then we all got to, like, you know, submit reasonable, you know, or a group photo or something like
that. Well, we still have, I think we still have that photo.
We still have that one photo from UT?
From what?
The UT. The Union Tavern.
Oh, the Union Club Tavern or whatever?
Yeah.
The UCT?
The UCT.
It's under new management.
I saw
shockingly
that.
Enough.
Yeah. Like every couple of years it is.
Yes, please come in. We don't suck now.
Yes, you do.
They had good beer. And they were friendly. They tolerated
us. They were nice. And it was very inexpensive.
Yes.
Very inexpensive. Okay.
All right, well, I guess we should end.
I had a lovely time.
So did I.
I had a very enjoyable.
Good time had by
all. Very, very, very enjoyable time.
We didn't talk about as much nerd stuff, I guess, as we sometimes do.
No, I would agree with that assessment.
Shit! Stay tuned for a special supplemental episode.
Extra 5 minutes of Dialadork. Look. Not a con. Is it this weekend?
I don't remember. I'm in Florida, so.
So you're not even there.
I'm not even there.
I'm in D.C.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Drew's like on his own.
The only time I can be there would be Friday night. If it's actually this weekend, then the only time I could actually be there is. Yeah, it's this weekend.
Everyone, we're talking about the NotACon convention that is put on in here in
by
Cleveland.
FTS by FTS conventions, where they can only meet, guess is Froggy, like Froggy Tiger, and maybe their pet or something.
Sydney. Simon.
Slappy.
Sandwich. Slappy the fish.
Sandwich. A Froggy Tiger sandwich. Basically, it's you know, it's like the Cleveland, you know, Geek Con, Hacker Con, you know.
Well, but it's more than that because they try to bring geek and music and kind of like art together in one. So it actually attracts a lot of people who are doing, music with technology and who have been involved in some of the more elegant projects.
Oh, Drew is on Friday night at 6:00.
He is. What's he presenting?
Hacking Headhunters. I guess he's going to be talking about
excellent,
job hunting and stuff.
Boy, look, I wonder if that's an indication of something.
If you're not doing anything this weekend, come on up to Cleveland. It's down. I assume it's still at the
Lakeside Holiday Inn is how you would
look
for it.
The Holiday Inn Select City Center on Lakeside Avenue in Cleveland. Why don't you come on in? And join the festivities. They always do some very like geeky stuff, you know. Like last year, if I recall correctly, they had a challenge to get like a 25-year-old Ethernet card to work or like a 20-year-old Ethernet.
Yeah, they
card
had
to
some really old technology
they had, like,
challenges.
They were running free BSD on a like amber screen. You know, machine like it was like a luggable.
Yeah,
it was like a luggable with like an what do they call it? Like an MCA.
I could not even tell you.
Network card. They were gonna actually like get it to work. Like they actually were getting, like they were actually at one point they were successfully like telnetting with it and stuff. And
yeah.
They just do like goofy stuff like that and
during the day. But I have to admit they've had some
really good
talks.
Yeah, really good
there.
Speakers.
It's surprising that
like Drew Curtis from FARC, you know, is like a regular because. I guess Froggy threw the first FARC party of all time.
Something like that.
Here in Cleveland. So they've got some people like...
Last year they had a bunch of people who were doing some really technical talks about like cracking and encryption and that kind of thing. So
oh, yeah, and the trickster is going to be there. The guy who did that full motion video on an 8088 IBM PC. And of course... regular cast member Dewey the Answer Man Drew Ivan will be there Friday night at 6:00, talking about headhunters and stuff. And so if you oh, and Jason Scott, of course, he's kind of an interesting guy. Interesting, very good. Rad Man, of course, is there.
You know, we should certainly mention the URL. Go to notacon.org.
Yes, notacon, notacon.org.
And check it out. The website's done very well. And
it's looking real good.
They're looking. Wait. Hold on.
You want to see
that? I want to go back to the speaker list. Let's give people a brief
rundown.
When
are you leaving?
I leave Friday morning, so there's no way. There's just no way.
I guess I'll show up and just see if
anybody
see if Dewey wants to do it with me. Well, maybe I won't be. I don't even know if I'll be able to.
This is great. They've got Michael DeLoya. I know I pronounced his name wrong there, but
probably DeLoya.
He's actually in charge of development for this whole city. Oh, he's okay. Trying to bring technology here to. He's the tech czar of Cleveland. Okay. He's trying to bring technology to Cleveland, that kind of thing. That'd be interesting. Secrets of the Dead, green energy, that should be interesting. I would love to go to that.
Mark Lenigan, Community Wireless Network. Mark Lenigan. I'm thinking of some other guy named Lenahan. He's got a lot of properties here in Tremont, but I know they've done like what's called Twi-Fi here in Tremont, but that's really just at local institutions. I mean, they've talked about like doing a sort of like a WDS like repeater system, you know, all over the neighborhood at people's like houses basically. Like, you know, a mesh.
That's nice. They've got several security-oriented seminars and talks. A bunch of collaborative things. I wonder what... techniques for 4 kilobyte intro development. What the heck do you think that means?
4 kilobyte intro development?
Or is that kilobit?
Might be kilobit.
I mean, I wonder if that's micro development for, like, embedded devices and stuff. That'd be interesting.
I wonder if that's, maybe like bootstrapping or something?
Could be. Anyway, a bunch of kind of thought-provoking titles there for the speaker list. Looks pretty interesting. I'm sorry that I'm not going to make it this year.
All right, well,
we've gone the last 3 years.
Yeah,
we've been to three, right? Last year, the year before.
Well, this is the fourth one. We missed the first one.
Oh, we did. So we've only done two then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, everybody, notacon.org. notacon.org. If you're in town or nearby, go check it out. It's good stuff.
That's my phone ringing using the Mule theme song.
And with that, we can just end the show.
All right, let's end the show. Matt, thank you very much once again. I'm glad we were able to do a show finally. Enjoy your trip. I assume you're not available for next week's show.
No, I'll be back. It's just a Friday through Sunday thing.
Okay.
I'm ready for Tuesday.
Fantastic.
All right, man.
All right.
We're out.
All right, see you later.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.